Friends, and welcome to the Shaman's View, the view from the invisible world. It's great to be with you today. And I've just come actually from a 2 days with my good friend, the Buddhist scholar Robert Thurman, a dear friend of the Dalai Lama's, translator of many books, including the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and really the living authority on Tibetan Buddhism in the West. And we were talking about the journey beyond death into the invisible world, where most everything is happening, and the fascination that we have in the West with the visible world as the only reality, denying 95% of the cosmos as we know it, because even science tells us that 95% of the energy and matter of the universe is invisible. We can't see it. They call it dark matter and dark energy. And how this is the field, and in the energy field, everything is emerging and arising. You see somebody that you like and you're attracted to, bam, there's energy exchange between the two of you. There are these beautiful, beautiful threads that can meet each other and touch each other, or there can be these great big toxic cords to try to entrap and wrap the other one. This is what we call seduction and entrapment. And this is spontaneously emerging in the field, because the field are the energetics. It's the energetics of how we're interacting with each other, not the content, not the outer form, but the inner form. And I remember years ago in one of my classes asking the students, how the women, how long does it take to seduce a guy? How long does it take to seduce a man? And one woman said, well, 3 minutes. And the other one shook her head and said, 20 seconds. And the other one said, a smile. Because the male, the masculine, is so seducible by life and by everything. In fact, not only the men, but even the inner masculine that men and women have, it's so seducible. It always needs to be engaged in a vision or a project or a dream. And the worst kind of seduction, of course, is the self-seduction, when we talk ourselves into thinking what a great idea this is, and then we pay the price for it. But every time there's an energetic engagement with someone, their energy cords, every time. And if there's sweet and loving engagement, then it's like this. It's just a touching of energy. When there are hidden agendas, when I want something from you, money, sex, acceptance, recognition, acknowledgement, there are toxic cords. And today we are walking through the spider webs of toxic cords out in the world, of things, of people that want to get something from us, or that need something that we have. And we have to be very careful we don't get caught in these tangles and these toxic tangles, because they always seem to entrap us in the places that we're most vulnerable. Sometimes it's our sense of self-esteem. We want to be liked and loved. I remember one of my teachers saying to me, Alberto, you have to be very careful that you don't want people, that you prefer to be valuable to people than lovable to people. Do you want them to love you, or do you want to be of value to them? Sometimes you're going to really not like you if you're going to be valuable. So toxic cords are the way that the shaman sees the intricate webs of interactions that humans have with each other. We also have these interactions with nature, but they're not toxic like the interactions that we have with humans that are always projecting their unhealed parts onto others, looking for the acceptance that they never gave themselves, or they never got from mommy and daddy, from their partners, from somebody who will understand them and get them. And of course, after a few months of realizing that the other person really doesn't get you because you came together to try to heal each other, then we reject the other, but we're still caught in the cords. We're trapped in the cords. It's so easy to divorce someone, But you don't cut the cord, so you're still caught in the tangles of that person that becomes a ghost, a specter that haunts you the rest of your life or for decades. And if that's not the case, that you replace by someone else where you have your cords have the same affinities, they have the same receptor sites. You come and you get entangled with the same music and the same dance, but with a different partner. How do we cut these? How do we keep ourselves from getting caught in these entanglements that life is so full of today? And this is what the shamans call the practice of invisibility, that you learn to practice invisibility so that there was no one there. There was no one there to get snared, no one there to get seduced. And if you remember the story of Parsifal in the quest for the Holy Grail, the one great instruction that Parsifal receives is from his teacher, Garamond. A teacher that appears is never allow yourself to be seduced by anyone. Never seduce anyone. And especially never allow yourself to be seduced by your own bad ideas. Because seduction is entanglement and ensnarement. It's always preying on your weak and unhealed parts. Like for me, when I came to the United States, I was born in Cuba, and I came as a young boy, revolution in Cuba, 9-year-old boy who wanted to be really liked, even though I couldn't speak English. It was great because teachers would go around the room and ask how many senators we have and what was the War of Independence about and who was Napoleon and Alberto, what's the year? That's the only thing I knew. I said, oh, this is the year 1975. And I really wanted to be liked, so I tried to be more like everyone else than myself. And in doing so, I lost myself. I suffered soul loss. I was always looking for those mirror neurons. You know about mirror neurons, how we, when we engage mirror neurons, we begin to mirror each other back to each to ourselves, and we can see ourselves in the other. And this is one of the big problems with virtual communication, with Zoom exhaustion, because the mirror neurons are reversed. We're not able to find ourselves in the other any longer because as the image is reversed. So I spent so many years trying to be liked that I lost myself. And if somebody really wanted something from me, all they had to do was to really give me positive feedback. They said, oh, Alberto, it's so good what you're doing. I really love. And then I saw when I wrote my first books how if I got a positive review in a newspaper, I'd go, If I got a negative review, I was devastated because I really wanted to be liked. And eventually, in my own life, I had to choose to be valuable rather than likable. And today I like to be liked, but especially by my dogs and my spouse and my kids occasionally. But that's not my driving agenda anymore. I don't engage in toxic cords or relationships. And I see friends of mine that are struggling with scarcity get involved with the craziest ventures and investments and projects that will try to complete their sense of not having enough money or enough love or enough acceptance in projects that are totally unecological. Making a documentary, and then the proceeds from the documentary are going to go to help this school in Bhutan. Well, a documentary is a $1 million project. Why don't you just take a quarter of that and give it to the school in Bhutan? Because documentaries don't make any money. So the seduction is at the core of establishing toxic cords. But how do we cut them? Well, ultimately, the best protection is really to heal yourself. To find out where are your vulnerabilities that you keep trying to repair and to heal through the other. And how are you attracting people in your life that are taking from you more than they're giving you, that are exhausting you, that are depleting you? What is it that you're getting out of that toxic relationship? What's in it for you? What is it that you're looking for? And as we heal these elements within us, we stop getting snared. We begin to acquire invisibility. Nobody sees us. Now, I remember when I was a young man, I would walk into a room and nobody would see me. It was terrible. I wanted people to see me. I had a new shirt, I had a new hairdo. Nobody saw me. And so, this is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that you walk into a space and you don't disturb the energy of the space at all, so that you can witness it and see it in its ultimate reality form. Not in the, you're not stepping into a meeting and walking into the poker table to see what it is, what your chips are, and what your deck and what your hand is, and what you have to gain and what you have to lose. You're able to witness. You practice invisibility so that you don't get stuck or snared when somebody directs a tentacle at you to see if there's going to be suction there. So this is the shaman's practice of invisibility is at the core. But until you master that, you've got to be able to find out where those cords are and cut them. And cut them, and as the cord is like a rubber band, it's an energetic band that's connecting you to a person, a place, or a situation. So it could be a project that you're connected to that's taken over your life. My God, I thought I was going to be able to just consult or be an advisor here, and now I'm working night and day on this. You got to cut those cords, and if you don't cut the cord, you will basically replace it with a similar engagement. You will marry someone identical to the one you just divorced right now or broke up with. But we got to track where those cords are connected and what stories are connected to. They always connect to a chakra, an organ, and a story. Now, this is an interesting tracking for you is that the cords that connect to a chakra are generally from past lives or from the spirit world, from somebody who may have died 20 years ago or 200 years ago or 2,000 years ago. That gladiator that stuck their sword into your gut and gazed deeply into your eyes as you bled to death. There's a cord, there's a, we call it in psychology a trauma bond that's carried over from one generation to another. And even today, you find that in people who have been abused, there's a trauma bond with the abuser. That's the description. But the shaman is always interested in the energetics. And the energetics is that there's a cord that's established. Every time there's trauma and a trauma bond connecting you to someone or to a story, there's a cord there. And when we connect it and that cord retracts like a rubber band, bam, and it hits you, you need to find out what chakra, what organ. Organ cords connected to organs are generally from living people because they're connected to biological tissue. Whereas from those that are in the spirit world or from a former time are connected to the energetics, to the chakras, to the energy centers. And the ones, and all of them connect to a story. There's always a story behind it. And until you discover the story and rewrite the story, you're not completely free. But we can track. In fact, I want to lead us through a tracking exercise to find out where we have cords and where they're connected to. Now, sometimes they're connected to the kidneys in the back. And in Chinese medicine, the kidneys are the source of all of our life and of our power. Extraordinary. That's where the body's energy is. That's the energy regulator. So many cords are connected to, they're connected to organs. They're in the kidneys or the liver, which is where all of the energy of the body is stored in the form of sugars, in the form of ATP, adenosine triphosphate. It's all stored in the liver. What the cell doesn't need, it stores in the liver for the body to use. So the cords will go to where the energy is. The cords that go to the chakras will frequently go to the lower chakras. If they're connected to lust or passion, they may be connected to your second chakra, to your emotions, to your feelings, or to the first chakra, your sense of survival. So the first thing to do is to track. So the way that we track, and it's always easier to track for someone else. You know how easily we can solve the world's problems? In about 3 minutes, we've got the solution to the climate crisis, to global warming, to the social inequality, and to the crises that are happening planetarily. But how long it takes for us to solve our own issues, we can't even articulate them. It's always easier to track the other. And all the shaman has to do is to get her rattle, begin whistling, and call the other's field to open up and expand. And they can track, they can see where those cables, those ropes, those energetic ropes are connected to. And then they want to begin to track the story. I remember tracking for a man, and I looked through his chakras, and there were no cords. I looked through his body energetically, no cords. And then I got down to his legs, and he had these ropes wrapped around his legs. He was tied up. Somebody had tied him up. They were not going to let him go. And he was trapped. He couldn't move one direction or the other. He could, it's like a horse whose legs are tied together and they're staked to the ground, and you can only move in this circle. So we had to cut those cords. And when we did, suddenly his relationships began to shift. Some of them beginning to flare out, like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you not respecting the promise we made to each other? What? They're responding to an energetic shift through an emotional reaction. And this, of course, is what people that are not trained in energy medicine will do, because they don't have access to the energetic realm. They have access to the one below it, which is the emotional realm, or the one below that, which is the biological realm, the realm of serpent and jaguar and hummingbird. So the first thing is to track. So I'm going to invite you to open your eighth chakra, expand Viracocha, and I'm going to demonstrate this practice so you can later do it. It's going to be a very, very brief journey that we do together, but you can later do it and take your time expanding the Viracocha, the eighth energy center, and bring your hands back to your heart. Deep breath, dropping into the breath, setting your intention that these webs of light become visible to you. It's almost like when the sunset strikes a spider web in a particular way, you can see the entire web right there, and strengthening that Viracocha, expanding it backwards and forwards. And now I'd like you to begin tracking to your centers, beginning with the heart center and feeling the spinning of that chakra in a clockwise direction. And tracking with one hand or two hands, you can even track outside, feeling the inside of your energy envelope and see if there's any cords connected to the center, any chakra. Remember, positive, loving relationships don't establish cords. They just touch each other in the field because they don't want anything from you. They're ready to give and they're not demanding a payment in return. So feel the chakra and then go down to the third chakra, sensing around this chakra, around the energy center. And when you feel something, try to get a sense of the roundness and what it feels like. Is it a rope? Is it a tube? Is it a tendril? And see if you can pull it out. And release it. And then imagine your hand is a blade and you can cut that clean. You can cut that clean and then cauterize it, seal it. And return those energies back to where they came from. And whoever's connected to the other side of that cord is going to feel like a rubber band that was really stretched. Suddenly, bam, it's hitting them. And they'll know something has changed. And you'll get a phone call, or you'll get a note, a letter, or they might show up and say, I was thinking about you, or you've been on my mind in the last few days, or there's something I haven't told you. I've been. They'll come to try to reconnect, and you don't want to re-engage that. Say thank you, but no thanks. Pass on that engagement. You don't need to learn that way anymore. But it's important not only that you find the person connected to the cord, but the story associated with that cord and with that individual. What was it that you hoped to find? What hole were they expected to fill? What void were they expected to fill? What was it that you were going to get out of that toxic relationship? So you learn the lesson so you don't have to keep attracting someone or a similar situation to learn that way again. And then continue tracking. Go to the lower chakras, the second chakra. Feeling the spin of that chakra, feeling how it's spiraling in a clockwise direction. And sometimes we feel intrusive energies there, like porcupine quills that we need to pull out. And just release. These are frequently negative thoughts or anger or jealousy directed at us, and release them. But we're tracking right now specifically for those cords. Now I want you to go your second chakra, right below your belly button, with both of your hands, turning both of your hands together, and then feeling to see if there's anything unusual in that chakra. And then when you find it, if you find something, because this is where passion, our sense of self-esteem, lust, sexuality, wow. And remember all of those people that you really, really wanted? Well, luckily we don't have cords with them, but if you did do some kind of romantic or lusty dance with them, there may be a residue there that you need to clear, an old dried out cord from that first love that, let's just clear that out of our field and get it out. We don't need that anymore. You have the memory, you don't need the rope connected to your second chakra. And then remember the blade. I like to use a feather. A feather is extraordinary. Or a sword. I have swords that I work with, but a hand will do just as well. It's a blade that cuts, and you release to the other what belongs to the other. You don't need to fix it for them. If you could have, you would have. And this is the absolute key to this process. Second chakra has so many cords connected to former lifetimes, and sometimes they will spin together to create a big, thick rope that will become a dominant theme in our life that will guide us emotionally to situations that keep becoming cyclical and repetitive and destructive. So you cannot heal those with psychotherapy. You cannot repair those until you cut these ancient cords and release them. And then cauterize. You've got to seal the area so they don't get reinstalled. Seal the area, imagining that you have heat or fire in your hands and you can cauterize that, literally seal it, burn it, seal it shut, and repair the skin, repair the lesion there, and clean it out. And then track your first chakra, the first energy center. Some of our survival, early life issues, first 6 years of life, 7 years, are associated with that chakra. And there may be people that were not there for you. If mom was not there the way you would have liked it, or dad wasn't present the way you would have liked him to be present, you may be looking for that through your job or through job security or through your workplace or through a friend that, and you're not going to be able to find it there. You have to find it within you. But first, you have to cut that cord to the absentee father who was not there. So you don't try to replace him with someone else or with another story that will satisfy that for a brief instant. And then let's come to the higher centers. The cords will generally be in your lower chakras. And I like to track these first because they're ancient. They come from previous lifetimes, from early life in this incarnation. But they're ancient stories that we keep repeating lifetime after lifetime. Again, the throat, the third eye, the crown. And now scan your body. Scan your arms, your chest, your belly, your kidneys behind your back, and anything you find that needs to be cut, release. And remember that you're not responsible for anyone else's healing. You're responsible for your own and for releasing to them what belongs to them. The minute you feel you have to rescue them or change them or help them change their story, you're reestablishing another cord, another toxic cord. All cords are toxic. There are no non-toxic cords because love and admiration and generosity is simply a touching and a feeding of the field, not an ensnaring, not an entrapment, which is what the toxic cords are. Today, the shamans say that the gates of hell have burst open, and all the demons of the lower world have been let loose. And the beauty of it is that the gates of heaven have also been flung open, and all of these luminous beings are available to us that were very unavailable before. You had to go and pray in a mountaintop and sit and fast and meditate and chant Om Mani Padme Hum or whatever shamanic chant you were doing to try to connect with these angelic beings. Today they're all around us. We can invite them into ceremony with us, but we don't establish cords with them. We touch each other's field ever so softly and ever so gently. But be careful because all of these other demons that we feel in the form of greed or anxiety or lust or desire or incompleteness or judgment, which psychology tells us are all internal, but that as shamans we know there are also external energies associated with them. We need to cut those connections. This is a time of the Pachakuti, of the great renewal of the earth. And the only we want to be cord free. We want to be disentangled. We want to pull out of the web of complications that so much of humanity is trapped in right now. And the way we do this is by cutting these ancient toxic cords, removing them, releasing them, becoming free from them. I encourage you to do that and then follow it with a ceremony of fire. Light your candle and put into the fire all of those stories that you no longer need, so that we can collectively together write a new story for ourselves and for humanity. Thank you for joining me in the Shaman's View. Blessings to you, and let's dream our world together into being outside of the web of tragedy that humanity has been caught in. Aho.